Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys. All four stupid guys are here. How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good, even though it says we're still off air. Now we're live.
Well, maybe it's just you, because your computer's not working right, or you're...
We'll go back. We'll go back to the videotape tomorrow.
It says live right here. It says I'm live.
Oh, now it does.
Was it not live before?
Not for your amazing intro. People missed out.
It just said it.
It just said it.
So you missed out your amazing intro.
It went live.
Welcome to the stupid guys where we work on just trying to record an episode every night.
Hey, we're just as stupid as the people that are on The Walking Dead. Can we just say that?
Maybe the writers, right?
Yeah. I don't want to
It's not as good as the opening of Talk Shoe where it says recorded live.
Recorded live.
Then you know it's live.
We always had so many issues with Talk Shoe, but it just seems like we have issues with it. I think it's just anytime you're dealing with the internet, you're going to have problems. But if you like this podcast and other podcasts like, and you want to help this podcast, you no longer have to listen to me go on for 35 minutes. You just go to jandjack.com, and if you want to become a patron, there's information on there to become a patron. Our new sponsor, you can go on there and check that out. All the shows are listed there, so you don't have to listen to me go on for 35 minutes about what I can't remember anyway. So go to jandjack.com, as simple as that. Punch on that. It'll have a link to go to the Facebook page, our Twitter page. All the information's there, and you don't have to listen to me. So on with the show. This is it.
I did patron on Saturday night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
There's only two shows that matter.
Oh, two shows Patron. That matter.
Patron.
Sports Talk with Walking Dead and Three Stupid Guys.
Walking Dead, Talking Dead.
What are we doing here?
Those people that ask, there will not be a Fear of the Walking Dead podcast. Am I correct?
We need vacation.
Yeah,
we need some.
We've been going since August.
Yeah, we're nonstop. I mean, and sports and football's coming up again. We'll probably talk after the draft.
Yeah.
All the other shows get a break, but we're like nonstop.
We got to do a show like next month before the playoffs start. Mike's got two teams that are going to be in the playoffs there.
Playoffs? Talk to me about playoffs.
Spring playoffs?
You mean who's the Florida team?
Not the Carolina. Not the Carolina. There you go.
Panthers and Lightning.
Lightning.
Yeah. I don't root for Lightning. That'd be like a Chargers fan rooting for the Raiders.
You know.
There you go.
You can tune in later for all of our sports talk, though. We're really here to talk about walking.
Actually, right? we should add Jim Irsay to the stupid guys because he says something stupid almost all the time.
He could just take over for me. He'll be my Indianapolis proxy from now on. So, Jim, what do you have to say?
This whole CTA thing, I don't think it's really, when you're drunk like me, you don't really notice. So, anyway.
I really liked the recent episode of The Walking Dead, guys. It was awesome. best written episode of the season.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Hey, okay. Maybe we should cut that Peyton Manning guy. He has a big forehead.
he'd probably say something like, you know, with all the stabbing to the heads, there could be some concussion protocol problems on the set.
No, he probably wouldn't say that. Knowing Jim Irsay, he'd probably deny it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move.
So I have the recap for tonight.
Yes.
Jack's taking a hiatus from the recap. Hopefully my recap lives up to as diligent and thorough as Jack has been for the last...
To be fair, I had to do Dancing with the Stars recap.
I already don't like it.
you're already out. So Dancing with the Stars recap is pretty close to The Walking Dead, I would imagine.
It was.
So
it was pretty intense.
Just as stiff and just as many knives to the head.
Have you seen Geraldo dance? A walker dance is better than Geraldo.
Finish him now, Carol. Finish him.
Look to the flowers, Geraldo. Look to the flowers.
I can't make fun of anybody dancing because I can't dance either. Only if I have a lot of Patron in me.
Yeah. Anyway, Matt wants to be done by 12:30, and it's already 11:53.
Oh, I'm the Cinderella tonight, guys. I tell you. So
we're right on time. Right on schedule.
We're right on time. Yeah. So if I get some sleep, that's fine. I'm all right. But let's start with the title of this episode, East, and we'll get to later why it's called East. But the cold opening was a short opening for this episode. It just kind of begins with the vaguest of clues.
And maybe that's where they glass. Maybe that's where they should have stopped it.
Yeah. It's just all surreal imagery of just random shots and people talking on top of stuff. Broken glass, flat tire, blood dripping. I thought this was Morgan's staff. Anybody think that at first?
No, I thought after seeing that, I was like, huh, should have gone west.
I said they finally they finally got rid of that walker on that car.
Right. I immediately thought of you and this walker, Jack. I mean, it's kind of, if you've done a podcast with Jack, you just pick up on these random little things that he picks up on, and you hold on to that.
You hold on to
you
it.
You never let go.
I said, about time.
So there's some voiceovers of Carol and her attackers talking, and we see Carol's rosary laying there, and it cuts to the Walking Dead theme. And the episode begins really kind of with a slight bit of a flashback. We begin with Carol and Alexandria before she left. And we see her sewing up the gun inside the sleeve, so little heads up there. This is sort of foreshadowing, right?
Now, some people were wondering where she just mysteriously had the gun. No. Mm-hmm. She planned it.
Yeah. She did.
For someone that didn't want to kill anymore, she was planning ahead.
And planned ahead to kill a lot of people.
Right.
I think she's just planning on surviving.
I think I said last week, though, unless she's going to die, wants to die, she's still going to have to kill.
Yeah, uh-huh. But did you guys think after seeing the gun that maybe she was, like, going somewhere to do that? Like, I thought when I saw her with the gun, I was like, oh, maybe that was her whole idea, was she was going to go take care of the saviors on her own.
No.
They had such a fun time clearing Alexandria. She's like, I want to do more of this. I want to clear the whole of the United States.
I think she was a prepper, you know? She's like, she's got a grab bag or go bag, and she was just preparing in case she ran into anybody.
So. I agree, but it just seems odd that if you don't want to kill anybody.
I think it might be a storyline relating to to something that happens to a character at the end of the episode.
Well, so we see her sewing this up. We also see the everything she's going to pack. We see the Dear John note on the bed. And Tobin comes home, you know, and she puts on her doting little wife face, like, oh, it's so good to see you again. Tobin starts to recount, that they've been building this lookout tower, but then he starts talking about Denise and the infirmary and how it's quiet there without her. She just kind of glazes over, like, I really don't care about this.
Denise, Denise didn't bring me a keychain.
Hey, Jack, you know what that look was, right?
What was that look?
I said that's the exact look I have when Bonnie is talking in the office. It's that glazed over look of like.
The only problem with that, Russ, only you and I know what that means.
That is very true.
Okay.
Well, tune in next week when we'll hear more about Bonnie and who this mysterious Bonnie is from Jack.
No, you don't want to know. Trust me.
The episode was better than that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. So after she glazes over, much as I did with Bonnie, Carol mentions the one thing I forgot to mention last week was, how's Tara going to take this news?
Like, yeah.
We never saw Tara last week. I thought that was kind of a...
No.
I guess...
We won't see Tara probably for a while.
Next season?
So she's had a kid.
She's had a kid.
Tara's gone for 2 weeks, right? She's scouting for 2 weeks.
I guess so, yeah.
Real life acting problems.
Oh, do you know something more than we don't, Mike?
Oh no, she had a kid in real life, so.
Oh, did she?
It was a little hard to hide a baby.
Okay. In.
I thought she was putting on a little weight, but I didn't want to be rude.
I actually second that emotion, Jack. Yeah. Just in much of the same way as you said on the Married Men show the other day. You know, you never ask a woman if she's pregnant or not.
Nope.
You never want to say a woman's gained too much weight either.
Nope.
In case they are pregnant. So I
could be accused of being pregnant lately. So I'm not accusing anybody of anything. So I did notice. I go, God, she looks like she's putting on a little bit of. Wait,
also,
so I didn't know she was pregnant.
Also, in case they listen to the podcast, in case they want to become a guest one day.
Yeah. No, it's it wasn't in a mean way. I mean, which I just was like.
That makes more sense now, yeah.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Tara.
Bring in another, was it a boy or girl?
Don't know that part.
Well, there you go, Mike. Wait to have the information.
Only so much research. I'm still a stupid guy.
There you go. That's our out. Well, Carol leaves in the middle of the night to Johnny Cash's It's All Over. I guess this makes sense. You know, if you're going to leave Alexandria, you might as well, you know, leave in the middle of the night.
Exactly.
So,
well, visibility is less, and it's tough to see.
Right. But this starts a montage, you know. Go ahead, Jack.
Could they get more, if it's that hard to see, because we hear there were some blind spots, shouldn't they get more? Because if I'm going to attack Alexander, they always seem to do it during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it at night.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Rick did.
If they have trouble seeing, so wouldn't you get some bright lights? You have your own solar panels. Get some bright lights up there.
Flood in it, yeah.
But I don't think they want to have
walkers, right?
I don't think they want to have lights and stuff like that because at night, you know, others can see them.
True, I guess that's true, yeah. But
they are building more towers, so we can't fault them for that,
well,
right?
That's a barbed wire at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So something. I mean, if you can't see people attacking you.
Yeah, if it was that easy for Enid to get in and out.
Well,
right,
the only thing they can find are cinder blocks. They can't find barbed wire.
That's true. They can build a jail, but they can't put barbed wire around the top. Anyway, go
we need the
A
team. Okay.
Dun, dun.
So this Johnny Cash makes for a nice montage song, and we see Carl for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any clue as to what was carved on that gun? There was like a name on there, maybe, or
something Enid typed, something that maybe Enid had done.
No, I hadn't thought about that because there was a big D at the end. I thought
it was hard to. It looked like it was first. I thought it was some kind of design. Then I said, well, maybe it's a name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought Russ. I thought Russ would have all the answers. So
I thought it said, "Look at this with your other eye."
If you're reading this, you only have one eye.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matt. I didn't notice the big D.
You didn't notice the big D? You noticed the big D in the last episode. No, at the end of the carved thing on the gun there, it looked like
there
was a D.
It did look kind of like a D. First, I thought it was infinity. But then I go, no, that's not the thing. And so I go, so I think it has to be something, but I
paused it. I still couldn't make of it, and I didn't see anything on the nets about it. So that's my fault.
Nobody cared.
Nobody cared. My other thought was this the kid that shot him? Is this the gun that caused his eye to go?
I think it was. I think it definitely was the gun that shot the kid shot him in the eye with.
Yeah.
Shoot your eye out, kid.
Makes sense. Russ's gun?
Somebody on a typewriter?
What are you doing, Russ?
Breaking news. Just in.
Confirmed.
Big D. On the gun, it said. Are we okay, Russ?
No, we're good. I was trying to get a drink.
Are you sending a telex out or something? What's going on there, Russ?
I was trying not to cough, so I was trying to get a drink.
Okay. Instead, you try not to cough, so instead you said, you know what? What's less annoying than a cough? Typewriter.
And that's the way it was.
You know how back in the old days they used to make the sounds on the radio?
Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to do that.
Okay, thanks.
You missed your calling.
Yeah, for sure.
So mark that down for the show notes. Typewriter appearance.
20 minutes in. So anyway, we in this montage here, we see glimpses of the lives of all of the couples of Alexandria. And we start with Alexandria's hottest couple, straight off of just coming back, Glenn and Maggie doing their part to save the water.
Yeah, well, that, you know, if you that is because I said last week, a couple weeks ago, where's this all this water coming? It's just being pumped in, and I guess they just have unlimited water.
Well, they have walked by that creek too. Go ahead, Russ. You were going to say something.
No.
Alexandria is magical. Unlimited energy, unlimited magical water.
Yeah. Well, they're doing their part, though, if they have to conserve water. And exactly. We see that the world is taking its toll on Maggie. She's got some kind of bruises, which kind of goes against what Carol said. Like, they didn't do anything to us. Was this bruise caused from her captivity, or was this...
Didn't the guy attacked her? Maggie and they were fighting back and forth, and then, remember, Carol got in, and then he turned his attention from Maggie to Carol.
That's true.
Where Maggie should have been there in the first place.
Well, there's that.
And also, Maggie was in that fight with the girl when they were doing one-on-one.
Yeah, the girl did kick her.
Girl fight, yep. Yeah.
All right.
Well, next we also see Daryl. He's getting ready to go back out on a motorcycle, but not for Carol. We don't know what he's doing, but he's, like, going out.
This is before the Carol information, because last week when we saw the previews, we thought he was going out looking for Carol.
That's right. I didn't see that. Yeah, I didn't see that on the previews, but, yeah, timeline-wise, he doesn't know that.
And, no, he doesn't know that Carol's gone yet.
Abraham and Sasha are kind of trading shifts here or something. Sasha, he gives him a cigar.
Was that Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? The whole cigar thing? I don't know.
I had that in my notes. Yeah. I don't know. It's
that was my first thought. He kind of looked at it and went, Yeah, I voted for that guy.
maybe not have Sasha and Rosita on the same shift. I don't know. Just saying.
Yeah, a little awkward, but you know what? Rosita handled it pretty well.
She does. She kind of looks on.
I think she's like trying to dig her paws into Daryl.
Who, Sasha? Rosita?
Yeah.
Maybe you could be right.
I'm kind of going for that one now. You know.
Well, it might be bad news for Rosita then.
Short lived.
Yeah, it might be very short lived. Yeah.
Yeah, not everybody's getting out of that quagmire alive. Rosita looks on, and clearly, yeah, this love triangle's got to resolve itself with bloodshed. It's the only way. And then it kind of ends with this Rick and Michonne eating an apple in bed.
Some people thought it was a cheeseburger.
Yeah, yes, I was like, I brought some ideas to my mind.
Well, because you sent a text and you said, because if you Michonne, when she bites the apple, the juice runs down her cheek and she kind of wipes it away. Then she feeds it to Russ, and Russ, I go, so you want cheese and grease dripping down your cheek? And Russ goes, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
who wouldn't?
Like, that's the way to wake up, and that's called arousing right there.
Russ will never wipe grease away.
No. He'd rub on his pillow. Got to save that for later.
I do think that the apple is this. It does serve as a symbol, not just, you know, biblical or even as a cheeseburger. But this is really like the fruits of their labor. You know, like they're biting into it, and I think this is even mentioned here, where Rick said life is good and. Jesus really came through for us.
Yeah.
It's Easter.
Life is good. Cheeseburgers are better.
Yeah,
but, you know, technically, Eve gave Adam the apple, and, you know, that kind of got the whole world all messed up. So.
Well, because they weren't supposed to pick the apple.
Right, you know, she kind of, you know.
You could do anything you want. Don't touch this apple tree.
But yeah. It never says apple. It just says forbidden fruit. You know, we don't know what kind of fruit. It's always assumed that it's the apple. So.
Okay. Well, what would it have been?
But anyway, yes, for most people, the apple kind of symbolizes that. But for this, I think there's another symbol about that this is the fruit of the war that they've started. This is the...
Right.
You know, even in this conversation that kind of, you know, kind of doles out after this, you know, Rick is pretty high and mighty. He's like, yeah, like, we've got everything. We've got the world by, you know. So...
Ain't nothing going to happen to us. Until I wake right. up and there's a note about Carol and Daryl's taken off and everybody's leaving because we're just stupid.
Hashtag symbolism.
Yep.
Well, here in the scene still, Michonne mentions that Maggie is worried about an attack. Okay. So we kind of know where she's coming from. And Rick is cocky in saying that the world is ours. Everything we need, this is quote, everything they need is inside those walls, or everything we need is inside these walls. And Michonne agrees.
Yeah, but I think that's foolish. I mean, it's just, how can you, in this world, how can you think that you're perfectly safe?
But even so, they're actually saying, hey, everything we need is inside these walls. And yet, minutes later... Both of these characters leave. That's the complete irony that strikes me. I'm just that like is,
that's true, yeah.
You're saying this is all we need. We've got everything. Nothing's gonna stop us from it. Oh, we gotta go. So I don't know. It's kind of so.
every time they've gotten in trouble in this series is when they don't stop and think. Right.
The writers and the characters.
Right. We'll get to the end on the episode, but anyway. The whole time I'm thinking, really, this is what we're doing? But go ahead.
Go ahead,
Russ,
Matt.
Do you have anything to add to this?
No, not yet.
Okay, so Glenn and Michonne, they want to run after Daryl. Or I guess, fast forward, Daryl's leaving pretty quickly, too, abruptly at that. And Glenn and Michonne are there, and they want to go after Daryl. They hop in a van or whatever. Abraham stops him, says something about his freckled ass. And Rosita stops him and intervenes and says she knows where he's going. And as Russ pointed out, she's got that kind of forlorn look in her eye. Like, yeah. I want some of that, Daryl.
But wasn't Abraham Abraham was being the smart one? We need to stay here. Right at this point?
Well, it was Glenn. Glenn was saying this. He was like, we need to keep numbers here. Like, Glenn is saying what the audience is thinking at this point.
Right.
We should keep numbers here. Maybe I should stay back since my wife is pregnant.
Nah. Daryl's been a good friend to me. You know, it's just my wife.
Right.
My wife.
There's other women.
So immediately right after this, we see Tobin has brought the Dear John note to Rick's attention.
Would it be a Dear Tobin?
Dear Tobin.
You know, I was fully expecting when he handed Rick the letter for Rick to go, what? Like, that would have been perfect.
Would have been perfect. Like, or why? Because why was last week?
Yeah, we didn't get a what or a why.
I know. God.
Yeah. But he is a detective because... Morgan and him immediately take up this cause. Tobin's not one to run out after his own GF, girlfriend, wife, whatever you want to call her.
Well, he's not comfortable. Well, he likes the walls.
Well, someone had to stay home and eat the beet cookies.
But still, it's like, I don't know. I know why the writers did this. Go ahead.
Tobin, he's not comfortable outside the walls, so he wants the walls.
Yeah.
The walls. We want him behind that wall.
In this conversation, they apparently realize that she must have left during Sasha's shift change, and Tobin even points out this car's missing that they just moved there. And yes, the walker that Jack has pointed out earlier in the season is gone.
Gone. I don't know where he went. I don't know if she just drove off with him dangling on the side and he fell off the side of the road. Maybe with that guy with the back. Maybe it's next to the guy with the backpack. I don't know.
Yeah. So next scene, because we'll get to the adventures of the True Detectives, Rick and Morgan, in a second. But next we see Road Warrior Carol and her stick machine just driving down. I think it's a Honda.
Why were the sticks? Why did you not take the sticks out? Were they welded on there? I mean, were they? I mean, they're wood, but were they just what?
No, they were in there because she used one of them to. Well,
I know that, but why was she driving with the sticks?
I guess to, I don't know. Maybe she's trying to catch something.
Nothing says I don't know what I'm doing like driving down the road with a bunch of sticks sticking out.
Look at that woman driver with the sticks driving down. Must be running into walls and stuff. She's crazy.
She don't got Christmas lights on those sticks.
Oh, that poor light. That poor lady doesn't know what she's doing. Well, immediately, yes, right after the stick machine scene, we see these five guys in a pickup truck, and they shoot out her tires and everything. The standoff begins, which, I don't know, I mean, say what you will about this episode, this scene was pretty cool, right?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Mike, I mean...
It seemed like more than five guys. It seemed like there was like seven or eight or nine or something. Like it seemed like
there was a whole posse out there.
Yeah, I counted. There's three in the back and two in the cab.
Right, yeah.
So she takes out only takes out two of the men first, if we're counting kills.
She says please don't.
That's her
That's her new thing. Please don't. Okay, I'm gonna kill you.
She's the Incredible Hulk. Like, I almost felt like they should have been playing that theme music as she wandered off, you know?
Exactly. I felt that when I was watching that scene. Especially the line. Okay. You don't want to make me mad. You don't want to make me mad.
Yeah. Please don't make me kill you. I don't know. That popped into my mind as well. So Carol does her scared woman in the apocalypse routine, and this guy named Hiro, spelled J-I-R-O, introduces himself. She says she's Nancy from Montclair, but he wants information, and that's what's important. This guy forces the situation, and then she does her scared bunny rabbit thing and kills two of them.
They recognize the stick car.
They did, that's right. So that means they've been scoping the place out.
Right.
Clearly. So, the third guy, she kills with the staff through the car. That was the driver coming at her. Now the logistics of having this gun in her, I mean, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but in the sleeve, like, most semi-automatic weapons, you know, they have like a larger clip. You know, I don't know how she'd fit that in the sleeve. It's a cool scene. Got me.
Right.
I thought Daryl was shooting. You know, I was just like, why would Daryl shoot with a gun? But I thought somebody else had her back. I thought the gun shots were coming from a different direction. And
I thought the same thing.
Yeah. That you thought it was Daryl, or that you thought it was somebody else?
I thought it was somebody else. I didn't know who it was, but I thought it was somebody else. But I thought. You know, she said playing the scared woman routine. I think she doesn't want to kill anymore. I honestly believe she doesn't want to kill anymore, but doesn't make any sense. You don't kill anymore. If you go out on your own, you're going to survive. You're going to have to kill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, there's nowhere she can go in this world where she doesn't have to defend herself.
She's Bruce Banner, man. That's true.
But if we're making her character do that and then her best friend ever possibly might die, it makes a little more sense.
Hmm. Well, Carol finally kills Hiro, the guy that's like hiding behind the truck. She's basically saying don't, and then he charges and she shoots him.
She didn't kill him. He was kind of laying there, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, he charges after, like in that split second when she comes around the car, he's like lunging kind of for her and she shoots. And that's kind of how that scene ends.
Right.
I think it's a commercial break, and it comes back to Enid releasing Maggie of her duty. And I think that this is Enid trying to poison Maggie with pickles. I think it's really Enid that causes the...
Wait, you think there might be? Or is that a Matt crack Matt? What's your thing?
Matt Pot theory.
Matt Pot theory. So is that a Matt Pot theory?
I'm sticking to it. Yeah, I think Enid's actually like pretty dark.
That's a great theory. I didn't even think about that.
That was sort of mentioned on Talking Dead.
Like, oh, was it?
Oh, well, I don't watch it, so that's not fair. But
they mentioned that, like, come on, Maggie, you're going to eat these old pickles? What are you doing here?
pickles last for a while, don't they?
Yeah, especially if they're canned.
Yeah, well, they're in a new jar. But.
Well, no, that's called canning, but yes.
In a jar? How could it be canning?
Well, that's what they call it.
Well, that's maybe in the
South.
When
you pickle something, you can pickle anything.
The rest of the world, we call glass a jar.
That's a great question to ask our chick fans, because chicks can.
But what do you call soda? You call it pop?
You call pizza
pie? I call
it
an orange crush.
All right. But I think that's a great theory, Matt.
Okay, that's my Matt Pot theory.
Even though you stole it from The Talking Dead.
I did not. I swear. I don't get AMC, so I'm just
Matt's just trying to work his way onto that show.
Matt just reads the scripts. Matt just reads the scripts. He doesn't watch the show.
I didn't even put two and two together. That's pretty cool.
I'm using that one. So thanks. I'm glad that you called it, and I'm using it. So, let's see. So after this whole pickle poisoning incident, we come back
alleged
this side storyline. You know, the B storyline, we'll call it, which is the buddy cop movie between Rick and Morgan. And they're in the car. They're arguing about the same direction. If you listen to this conversation twice like I have, it's like they're arguing about the same direction, but it's like how they come to the reasoning. Rick's like, the tracks went off east, and then Morgan feels like it necessary to say, hey, this other group that you ran into of these, you know, these saviors, they were west. So it's like he's trying to prove to Rick, like, no, she's running away from danger. She's not trying to kill. She's actually going the opposite direction.
Right.
I think that was the point that he was trying to make. But these two guys, I just last comment that I need to make about this. Both of the men appear like they're like two guys that work together in the zombie apocalypse, but they don't hang out together, right? Like they're kind of annoying.
Well, I think they just have two different trains of thought of how they come to their conclusions and arrive at things, you know. Case in point, the two coming up with the two different directions, you know, they're both going the same way, but how they arrived at that is, you know, Rick's more like takes what the evidence is, you know, like a cop does, whereas, you know, Morgan is more methodical and, you know, a little more thought processing kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Psychological. Yeah. I can do it.
That's excellent, Russ. That makes more sense than the whole jar thing.
Well, and you know, and Rick puts people in jail, and Morgan builds them. Like, I mean, you know, hey, they complement each other.
Well, Morgan wants a world where you know, if someone does something wrong, they get punished. You know, it's not punished by death. He wants to live in a normal world, whereas Rick's like, okay, the strong survive.
After hearing Matt, I'm taking away that I need to put down my iPhone, stop paying attention to Instagram, pay more attention to dialogue. Because I did not pay attention to the scene at all.
Well, did you hear the part where Morgan mentions to Rick that something about, you know, it's not about being right. It's just the wrong that pulls you down. Like he's trying to make that case. Not a very exciting scene, I admit, Mike, but.
It caught my attention when I heard, I'm trying to get my horse. I'm trying to get my horse.
Well, that's a little bit further along here, but the next cut jumps to the lone survivor. Jack, did you have something else to add about that?
No.
Okay. So it cuts back to this lone survivor. I looked up his name. His name's Roman, actually. So he does have a name, not just, I don't know. He looked like a lot of different... I know I've seen this actor in some other things before. I didn't look up
He did look familiar, I agree.
Yeah. But anyway, he's still alive, and he kind of says something cold to the guy that's just laying there dying. He's like, yeah, just let it go.
Yeah.
Just die.
Just die already.
That would have been perfect for Jack's favorite line. He dies, he dies.
He dies, he dies. I'm saving that for...
I thought so. That was immediately what I thought of at the end of this episode. Was Jack's famous line. But back to this.
I wrote it for Rocky IV, but that didn't mean it.
You wrote it for Rocky IV. You never got the credit that you deserved.
Nope. Not even a simple hey, thanks.
Not even a yo, Adrian.
Nope. Nothing.
I was robbed.
Well, I think Roman hides in the ditch because as Rick and Morgan come up to this scene and they're investigating, as detectives do.
Well, he was hiding in the trees. He was in the woods.
I think he was hiding or in the woods. But there's one shot where when Rick kills the one guy with the knife to the head, it's kind of shot from the grass or something like that, as though somebody's looking at them.
Right.
And so that's kind of why I thought that was his vantage point.
He was in the woods taking a tinkle.
Probably. He was like, man, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm so embarrassed to pee out in the middle of nowhere with nobody around to watch me. But whatever.
You don't know who's watching. You don't know who's watching.
Well, because, when you hear, like, water dripping, right, it kind of makes you go. You know, all the blood dripping from the, the little thing sticking out of the car and the, brake fluid dripping, made him go.
Point taken. At any rate, Morgan finds blood in the field, which leads Morgan and Rick to follow this blood on some random goose chase.
Can I say something here?
Yeah.
Can I finish?
Did they take the key car? Did they take the car keys with them, or did they just walk away to say, "Hey, we're just gonna leave the keys in the car"? I don't remember them walking back to the car to get the keys, and I thought the guy was it Roman? I thought he was just gonna take their car.
Oh.
Well, the car aren't. I thought both cars were damaged.
No, those were.
Rick and
Morgan's car. They drove up in. Did they take the keys? Morgan came out with his big stick, but did he? Does it have? Is that a big keychain? Denise didn't bring a Morgan keychain with him, so we don't know if he has the keys.
I think that. He's got his name
Rick
carpet
learned
wood.
His lesson from Jesus stealing his truck before, so.
Perhaps. Hope so. But that was my first thought. Take your keys with you. Now you're going to be stranded. I don't know.
Well, they follow this this line of blood into the field and just start kind of wandering out. Into the wilderness aimlessly, and Roman appears to follow them, so he's on their trail, which seems odd because when we fast forward later, it's like we never see him again. But we'll get to that.
But do you think maybe you remember the person hiding in the bushes was Carol, and the trees?
I had wondered that too, but the way that they shot it and the way Roman comes up, I mean.
Yeah, but it just I don't know. Just where did Carol go? That's the.
Because I didn't think she was shot. It wasn't like she was limping, right?
No.
Like, did anybody see her?
Unless what was the guy's name that was laying there?
I think he might have gotten a shot off.
Maybe hit her.
Oh, in that last scene, because we never see her again. But yeah, that last scene when they're charging at each other. Yeah, I guess so. So that's a good theory, Russ. You're on it.
You're on the ball, except for the whole blood thing making you go back.
And pickles.
Pickles, yeah.
Oh, that was mine, and I'm taking full credit for pickle poisoning.
I'm talking about the jar.
Candy versus jars.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, next scene is Team B, or Team A, I don't know which team's which, but it's the Michonne, Glenn, why are we in this together, what are we doing scene where they show up on the tracks. And,
we're all saying that.
What are we doing here, guys? Why go back? Rosita gets really wistful where Denise died. This scene kind of like threw me for a loop because I noticed these little weird things. But this is the only scene that's shot with fog and mist.
Right.
It's clearly there's fog and this mist kind of rolling in on their tracks. And in the, you know, Michonne finds Daryl's bike. And in the very next scene, they make a point of showing clouds breaking up overhead, maybe. Maybe if they think, like, we're supposed to think time has passed, or I don't know. But clouds are breaking overhead, and we see Daryl actually in this fogless field, and he shoots an arrow right at Rosita's head. This scene makes me even more upset.
Kind of like Cupid shooting an arrow.
you can tell Daryl's been without his crossbow a while because his aim is off.
He just doesn't know how to say I love you.
Yeah. Nothing says I love you more than an arrow through the eye.
Yeah. Rosita's like, he really does like me.
He likes me.
Abraham never shot an arrow at my head.
He did give me a cigar once, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Whoa. What makes me upset about this scene is that they clearly argue. I mean, Daryl's yelling. Like, he was just sneaking through the grass like a snake. And
right. He's
yelling at the top of his yelling. The whole group's upset. Glenn's yelling at him. Michonne's upset.
This is where it wasn't too terrible before, but this is when I thought it really got stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, like you're saying, it really got, I mean, come on, this is where it was so predictable at this point what was going to happen. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, well, just the fact that right after this, Rosita follows Daryl. So again, we have this group that went out to get Daryl, and now they're breaking up again. Rosita goes with Daryl. Glenn and Michonne continue to talk rather loudly as they tromp through the woods. They have no aim in sight. And at this point, I kept thinking, is Glenn going to get an arrow through the eye? Like, I really kept thinking that Glenn was just going to get shot. Like, just right there.
I was thinking one of them was going to get popped, too.
Okay. It was obvious. It was there was no suspense to the scene because it was lazy writing at its best. As good as this season has been, they screwed up on this episode. They just totally tanked it. But anyway, go ahead.
Mike, did you have any other feelings about this scene? Or
I just want to say thanks for Jay for appearing on the podcast and giving us a lazy writing quote.
Well, I mean, I do agree.
When I say lazy writing, I stand behind it. I don't just backtrack.
That's the Jay and Jack stamp of approval right there. No, I mean, I agree with Jack, though. This season has been much improved. I think most of these episodes we've enjoyed. You know, there's been some hiccups here along the way. Maybe this episode is the one that just is the head-scratcher. I get it that they wanted to divide up these groups and have them kind of separate from Alexandria, but the way they went about it, I just felt, I don't know, it just was so frustrating that they would go back to the tracks, that they would go back to the same place, and that they wouldn't hold a certain reverence or like, hey, we need to sneak up. I mean, I don't know. I just,
well, Glenn was a voice of reason through the whole thing. Look, he was saying, this is how we get in trouble, but But all of a sudden, Daryl, who's seen millions of people die around him, and Denise, who shouldn't have been there in the first place, she's responsible for. I know he didn't kill the guy that killed her, but still, she's responsible because she shouldn't have been out there in the first place. This is the straw that breaks the camel's back with Daryl. I got to go out and kill this guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, he's just got and for Glenn to basically be making the argument of the viewer, like, why are we even out here? And then they're immediately captured by Dwight, Daryl's evil nemesis.
But then the whole point of Glenn going out there was to bring Daryl back. Wouldn't you at least stay with Daryl?
Yeah, or leave. Just be like, fine, Rosita, be with Daryl.
Stop at this creek where we're out in the open here, and
yeah.
I don't know.
So anyway, moving on from the things that we're upset about, we get back to True Detective, Rick and Morgan style. And they have this kind of let's clear the air talk. Yeah, which one would be Matthew McConaughey? I think it would be Morgan, right? Because he's the crazy one.
It'd be Morgan, yeah.
But Rick's got his own little bit of...
But Rick is Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, clearly. Anyway, they have this kind of let's clear the air talk where Morgan reveals what he knows that happened at the prison with Carol. And as they kind of have that, they honestly, this is the thing. I think the Rick and Morgan storyline was the writers, I think they knew, okay, we're coming up to this Negan character. We're coming up to the final. Let's have one last hurrah with Morgan and Rick before S hits the fan or whatever. I don't know. Like, it just seemed like they wanted to have these two characters have their talk, and they had to have it. I don't know. So I
thought it was when I saw them have their talk, I was thinking, well, this is probably the end for Morgan coming up here, because I don't think they would have, I don't think they'd knock him off without him and Rick having some kind of reckoning. That was my thought process.
They want to kill him off without him knowing that Michonne took his candy bar.
Right.
Yeah. Nice,
you know,
callback.
It just seems like, you know, they said their piece. You know, he told them don't come looking for him. You know, that kind of thing. Like, it was more or less like, you know what, we're done.
Well, okay, so they come upon this barn, and it has a survivor that is in the house. We don't get a good look at the survivor. And he kind of runs off. There's some walkers. He calls him something weird, this lone survivor, that leaves a weapon behind. What was it? Do you remember it?
Dead or something? The dead are coming or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, or like, yeah, the, I don't know. This guy seems very forgettable because we only get a brief glimpse of him. Drops a weapon, which, what survivor does? It's like there's walkers, you're dropping a weapon, mystery man?
It's always done in every movie.
Yeah.
You leave your weapon behind. And if you find a weapon, you don't pick it up either.
Yeah. He leaves it behind as a calling card for Rick, just to say, hey, by the way, I got this from the Hilltop people, which starts Rick on this hell-bent rant about how bad people are, and Morgan's trying to, like, kind of spin it as, like, no, I see life, and it's all about the circle of life, Rick.
Well, and Morgan, Rick was going to shoot him, and Morgan knocked him
out.
Yeah.
That's true. Morgan, although Rick probably was just aiming for a leg, right?
Yeah,
like cop style.
Yeah.
Freeze!
Sure.
FBI! Freeze.
FBI made you keep running, so automatically you have to shoot him.
Okay, so I wanted to get to this circle of life story that he tells about the how he had brought the wolf into Alexandria, which Rick just about loses his head over. That I thought he was going to clock him at that point.
Yeah.
Like, and he goes in this whole thing like, well, you know, the wolf, he saved Denise's life, and Denise helped save Carl, and therefore all life is precious.
But if he would just killed the wolf in the beginning, he wouldn't have captured Denise. He wouldn't have taken him in. Denise would have been on the plane. So,
yep,
sorry, Morgan, you're wrong.
That was my whole point. That was the flaw in the whole thing. I'm glad that you saw it too, Jack.
I probably just would have shot Morgan at that point.
Yeah,
but, you know, he did make the point to say that, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, without the wolf, Carl wouldn't have been saved, kind of thing.
No. If the wolf hadn't been there, then Denise wouldn't have been captured, and she wouldn't have been in a situation in which she had to be protected by the wolf. The wolf created the whole situation. He captured her, had her hostage, and then they leave that little confines because they're going out. Like, the wolf's crazy.
Did that give Denise saying, I need to go out more. I need to leave, go outside the walls and discover more. I'm not prepared to defend myself. So because of that scene, did she go out, get an arrow in her eye, die, so the only doctor they have dies, and now Daryl may be possibly killed because the whole... So Morgan letting that wolf stay alive set a chain of effects, dominoes that led to Denise dying, maybe Daryl dying, everybody dying because Morgan did the wrong thing.
Hey, I'm just happy Morgan went with Circle of Life instead of Hakuna Matata or Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
As his favorite you know, talking about all this time continuum, someone's going to talk about the flux capacitor soon.
Marty, I think that's what was in, yeah, that was in that barn, was the DeLorean, trying to throw him off the, I need to find my horse.
Now, the question is, would this DeLorean have a bunch of metal sticks sticking out of it?
Well, if a woman was driving, it would.
Yeah.
Well, spoilers for Back to the Future 3, it does get arrows in it.
Oh, it does.
All right, so we're almost done. We're in the home stretch here. Morgan convinces Rick that he's going to walk the earth like Kane from Kung Fu, searching for Carol.
Everybody wants Kung Fu fighting.
And if you see Rick's face as he's leaving Morgan, he's like, thank goodness that's over. I got rid of that guy finally. And Rick returns immediately back to the Alexandria after the commercial break. So he was only gone for like what seems like an hour.
Well, he must have brought so Morgan must not have had the keys. Rick had the keys, or they left the keys in the car and nobody stole the car.
Yeah, apparently Roman's just a good guy.
Yeah,
okay, but like my so other flaw, there's only one little flaw in that whole thing, right?
Only one?
Yeah. Well, there's many, but. So that guy that came out of the bushes was following them into the field, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like I'm going, okay, how in the world did Rick get by him and make it back to Alexandria without running into this guy? Did the guy get lost or something?
Maybe he died.
He died.
He found a jar of pickles.
I kept going like, okay, how did Rick miss this guy?
I agree wholeheartedly with you, Russ. I was wondering the same thing. Why?
I was wondering the same thing also. I go, wait, what happened to that guy?
Yeah, Rick just jumps back to Alexandria like he's got a time machine.
Well, maybe and, the DeLorean. There you go.
The DeLorean, clearly. Yeah, he didn't need the keys. He had.
He didn't have Morgan to drag him down, so maybe he went a different way.
Possibly.
I don't know.
But still, Roman, I guess this guy, he's just. Apparently he's going to be in next week's episode.
He's roaming the earth with Morgan.
Maybe Roman was like Biff. He had to put two coats of wax on the other car or something.
He did look like an old Biff or Biff's dad. Enough about this guy. Because we're almost there. Let's get to the juicy part here.
The Daryl part.
Okay. Oh, wait, no, we missed a very crucial scene. Maggie cuts her hair.
Yeah.
Enid visits Maggie and cuts her hair, which is clearly part of the whole pickle poison plot.
If you eat poisonous pickles, you're going to cut your... That's what happened to me. I ate a bad jar of pickles. Look what happened.
Well, you cut your hair, you lose all your strength, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Hmm. Wow. Well,
now, when she was fighting, did someone grab her by the hair?
I don't remember that.
Because she said, nothing's in my way now.
Of making a movie not involved with The Walking Dead.
Here's my thought. I think she was just like, finally I can cut my hair, and next season when I return, I'll have a new hairdo. I don't know, who knows.
Okay.
Clearly Mike thinks that she's not coming back, so.
Nah, I think they kill off her other half.
Okay. Well, the last scene in the woods, the most important scene.
Maggie has cramps and is in pain.
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to bring up that again.
Pickles.
Okay.
You know, for anybody that felt that was a sore subject. So, but, yeah, she doubles over in pain, and we have no idea how that's left. But the last scene is in the woods. We see Glenn and Michonne. They're at a campfire. They're being held. Daryl and Rosita creep up to the survivors' camp. Glenn tries to scream or say something to Daryl.
That's rule number one. If you're trying to help someone out, but they're shaking their head no, that means there's somebody sneaking up behind you.
Clearly, look behind you. Yeah.
Every movie I've ever seen, every TV show I've ever seen, that's what happens. And Daryl is smarter than that. He would have known not to have gotten caught in that trap.
Well, Daryl's going by the new rules. He was going by Carol's rules, where hyperventilating is a new sign.
All right, let's make a pact, guys, okay? If we're ever in some kind of really deadly situation and one of us is bound up and we're going, look behind you, okay? Just that's our key.
Only problem is
what if we're looking at Russ's foot right now? Like, he can't see anything. He can't see any movement in his face.
That's no, true.
Russ would say, I'm sorry, I thought you were saying there was food.
Yeah. Most likely, Russ would be gagged with a big, huge hamburger in his mouth.
It's heaven to Russ.
Give me 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes. I'll finish this.
Been kidnapped by the hamburger there.
I'd be looking at the guy next to me going like, can I have yours? You can eat the rest of that?
I'll save us.
That scene was on top of everything that was happening last, that was just stupid on top of stupid. There's no way Daryl would have seen that, and he would have looked behind him. He would have known something.
Yeah. And where are these people hiding? Are they that stealthy? Because they're not wearing tree-like clothing.
They're with Roman.
They're with Roman. Well, anyway, just to finish it out here, Dwight has the gun trained on Daryl. He says, hi, Daryl. He says this right before shooting Daryl.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Hey, the blood splatters at the camera screen, and we hear Dwight say, you'll be all right, to Daryl. And I know in our Facebook group, somebody had thought that it was Daryl that had said that. I put the closed captioning on. It does say that Dwight is saying this, so I don't mean to burst your bubbles or spoil anybody's illusions that Daryl had said this.
I first thought it was Daryl, and then I was thinking about it, and I told Jack today, I said, you know, maybe Carol got off a shot. Because this whole time, we don't know where Carol is.
Might have been the governor.
Well, do we think Daryl's dead? If he dies, he dies.
I think it was Professor Plum in the study with the revolver.
I'll say this though: if this is the way Daryl goes out, what a terrible way for one of the main characters! Just a dumb, boring way for him to go out.
And you're bringing up another Talking Dead point there.
Oh, they said the Talking Dead?
They said it'd be pretty weird for a major character to get killed by such a minor character like Dwight like this.
But also because it just – for why he was – again, I'm not saying Denise wasn't worthy of them getting revenge, but this it was just dumb. And it was lazy writing. And if it is Daryl's – if is this the way Daryl dies?
Revenge for the orange soda.
Yeah, exactly. It just to me, it's not going to be as bad as the whole Glenn underneath the is Glenn
sure
alive or dead for 20 weeks. But this is just I thought this episode from the last I really had no problem with it till like the last 30 minutes. And I kept going, come on, no, they're not this stupid. Why are they doing? Why is everything's perfect? So now we're just going to do stupid things again?
Right.
And I said, this is just lazy writing. The whole set, I mean, there was nothing suspenseful about it. I mean, when he shot Daryl, it's kind of like, well, I didn't see that coming, maybe. I go, if he dies because of this.
He dies.
It's terrible.
But, you know, maybe that's part of the way they're writing it, that's to show that, you know, this group has become very careless with the way they're handling the Savior's group per se.
But why?
But here's my counter argument to that, Russ, is that I feel that why not have one group go out, not two groups in the same episode? Why not have the survivors rally up to their gate with, you know, said group that went out, you know, and just, you know, force their way in or at least have a confrontation, but not to say, I don't know. I think there's a way that they could have done it without necessarily having to, like, pull everybody out on these wild goose chases for a whole episode just to leave us kind of like,
They dropped the ball.
You know,
this episode. I mean,
this, yeah, not the this, best this, penultimate.
This season had been, I thought, really good. I was looking forward to podcasting about it. It was fun to podcast about it.
And he's done. Jack's done. No more podcasts.
I'm not done, but this episode was like, I just thought you have your major characters and you're just doing things that there's no way they would do that.
We lost Jack at the pickles.
That was a great theory, Matt, but I don't know.
Well, as someone posted a meme on the Facebook group, if Daryl dies, we riot. So a lot of people were upset about the Daryl.
I have no problem with a major character dying. They've done it before. Mm-hmm. But if this is how he dies, it's just stupid.
But to be fair, people were ready to riot because Daryl couldn't drive a stick shift last week. So
yeah, well, it was stupid. I mean, he should be able to drive a stick shift.
I'm saying Daryl fans are a little crazy.
Yeah.
But is it true that he's supposed to be the guest next week on Talking Dead?
He is.
So there you go.
He dies. He's dead. Well, I thought it was interesting because we do the best of the – I put on the best TV show of the week on our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm because I don't think The Walking Dead has won all year. I could be wrong. It's leading by 7 votes over Better Call Saul.
I thought it won that one episode that we all liked.
Did it?
Except Mike. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but I agree. I mean, I saw the voting results as well. I saw that you had posted that, Jack, and I thought, oh, great, you know, because I hadn't seen the episode yet. I thought, oh, great, this is going to be a good episode of The Walking Dead, and, you know, I'm kind of in a similar boat where...
I mean, there's not a lot to choose from, but I would take 11/20, but of course not everybody has Hulu. I don't watch The Americans anymore. I'm 3 episodes behind on Better Call Saul, but this to me, I said, really, this is the best? I mean, I don't want to argue with people, but...
Well, third place was the Sports Talk with 3 Super Guys, the bracket picks.
Yeah, that was the best one.
No, it was third place. It was a triumph. It was close. It was no, close.
It was better than this episode of The Walking Dead.
Probably. It probably was.
I hate bashing a show I podcast about, but this I thought was just lazy, right?
I thought they kind of, you know, the transition of last episode to this one to the finale is kind of rushed. You know, it seems kind of helter-skelter, but we've seen this before, though.
All right, forget all that. Who dies next week? Who's the major character that dies?
All right, let's go around and say a major character that dies, but then we also need to go around and see how many characters die that are major characters. Because I think there's going to be more than one.
Oh, okay. So you're saying, like, number count.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go first because I've been saying that Glenn's going to die. Like, I mean, maybe I've been saying it too much, so I'll just pick a secondary character and say... And I don't want to say Daryl, but I'm going to say Carol. Carol dies as well. So Carol, Glenn, and the body count is 3 major characters, or 3 characters that are at least in our Alexandria crew. That's my guess.
I'll go with if Glenn dies, then I'm going to say Maggie dies.
Whoa! Wipe it out the whole family, but the baby will live.
The baby
live on
will
in infamy.
But I think Carol has to die because her character can't keep doing the same. She can't keep killing, and she can't survive if she's out in the. I think she has to die.
But she might have to deal with the consequences of losing her best friend because of what she did.
Well, he didn't. He's not out looking for her.
True.
He's
out for revenge, yeah.
For Denise, because he didn't.
He didn't even know she had left.
No, so it's on that one. But I think it's gonna, and I think Rosita, if Daryl's getting shot, then no reason not to shoot Rosita. So could be thinning the herd there. So Rosita gets shot. Daryl, I can't see them killing him off this way. So I don't think he dies. But if Glenn does die. Then I think that Maggie dies, but I think you're losing Glenn is like one of the sane people left. So, what's going to happen to the whole group if he dies?
I'm going with Morgan, Carol, and Eugene.
Wow,
Eugene.
Okay,
Yep.
Who's going to build the bullets? Who's going to bite certain body parts if they get in trouble?
I was going to go with Foran.
Who's going to bite the pickles?
I was going to go with Foran and throw Abraham in there. I think maybe Abraham might be gone too.
Now you need some soldiers.
Mike, you got any picks?
Yeah, I was going to go with Glenn and Abraham.
Really?
Okay, Abraham, yeah. That would solve that love triangle pretty quick.
All right.
Yeah, all right. If they're going to kill off Daryl, I don't think they would sort of do it in the penultimate episode. I think they would save it for, the finale.
Yeah.
This is just to get people rising and talking for the finale.
I think you might be onto something there, right? Like, people are, all up in arms, oh, I got to tune in now. Daryl might be dead, you know? And then it's no, we didn't kill off your favorite character.
Okay. Now, what if they do what they have done a lot on The Walking Dead? They come back and we don't even see Daryl. We don't even see
Daryl. You don't see Daryl until 2019.
How ticked off would people be then?
Oh, the whole episode is just a Tara episode.
And we don't know that in the woods to the left is a dumpster. And Daryl falls under the dumpster, and Derek can't find him. So
the whole time, Dwight was aiming. He shot a tomato, and the tomato splattered on the screen.
it was canned tomatoes.
Right before Daryl was about to get shot, Eugene sweeps in with the DeLorean, stuffs him in it, and they, they show up some other episode.
What if Rosita jumps in front of the shot before Daryl gets shot, and it's Rosita?
Ooh. Well, I felt like Dwight was really talking to Daryl when he said, "You'll be all right." But good thought there as far as the Rosita magic bullet. Last little bit of feedback I wanted to. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
I was gonna say we almost had a Sports Talk with Three Super Guys clean sweep there with Glenn. We were one away.
Glenn.
Yeah, I don't want Glenn to die, but if he does, then I think Maggie has to go too. How does Maggie go on? She's lost her whole family, and now she's lost her husband. It looks like she's losing her baby from the poison pickles.
So can we say if he dies, she dies?
She dies. Yes, we can. He dies, she dies.
All right. I just wanted to give a couple of little mentions of people's comments here on the Facebook feed. I thought Scott's comment about title should have been leased, as that word could be attached to least well-written, least compelling, least believable, least interesting, and so on. So
boom goes the dynamite.
Can't argue with that.
Scott didn't have very many nice things to say about it. A couple other people had kind of had left some other kind of frustrating comments, and people clearly concerned for Daryl and if he lives or not. So that was it. That was all I had as far as the feedback there.
Do we have any comments from Tack from Tokyo or Eknar Gladfilter?
It's Eckhart.
Or what about Brad from Chicago?
We have.
What's he up to these days?
Again, if you want to help us out, you just go to janjack.com. But we like to thank three special patrons: Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner Gladfilter, and Brad
Russ
from Chicago. No, Russ the cheeseburger man. We should get sponsorship from cheeseburgers. Or some hamburger place should be sponsoring this show.
Jack in the Box would be awesome.
As much as we talked about them, they definitely owe us.
What about the cookout, right? Russ, you go to the cookout a lot. You should try to get them as a sponsor, too.
Well, I saw on Facebook that Jack in the Box tacos are now 2 for $1.19.
Ooh. Oh, raise the price there.
So that's kind of man, that hurts.
But they also have these super tacos now too.
Well, you gotta pay for the horse. Super tacos. You gotta pay for the horse meat. I mean, in Walking Dead, they're even having trouble finding horses.
Well, they cut that with soy meat. They cut the meat with soy. It's like a half. It's a 50-50 kind of split there.
Okay, come on. I've eaten Jack in the Box plenty of times. What meat?
Telling you, it's part of soy. So at least that's what I read.
It could be just a fried thing of grease.
It's probably dead zombies. So.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
And also, I'm still waiting for the beer sponsorship. Saving me some money here.
Well,
a lot of times with a show, they mention, say, like Budweiser, then they'll send them a case of Budweiser. So mention what beer are you drinking there, Mike, that you want shipped to you. Maybe they're listening.
We've got a Cigar City from Florida here.
Cigar City.
In Tampa, Florida.
In Tampa, Florida, but you don't like the Lightning.
I hear that's where Sasha went to get those cigars. Cigar City. I don't know. We usually do a roundtable of what we thought, but we kind of already did that. I don't think we need to berate the point.
It wasn't my favorite episode.
No.
It's probably been the one I disliked the most this season.
Yeah, this season.
I'd give it a B, a solid B.
A solid
really?
B, wow.
Really?
Well, last week was a B+, so you're pretty downgraded. Generous with your Bs.
So we've gone down from last week.
Yeah, I think my students would like me to be more generous with Bs, but I'm not. So I would give it a C+, right? So
I give it an F.
Wow. Well, see, I've come to expect this from The Walking Dead, so that's why I'm like, yeah, this is average. It's a little bit above average because they were ballsing up.
Again, like I said, this season has been so good.
It has.
And then to just go, okay, we don't care about this episode. Oh, we're gonna wait till the end. We're going to shoot Daryl and leave you hanging. So you'll turn, like Mike said, so we'll tune in next week. Well, we're already going to, most of us that watch it, we're going to tune in next week no matter what.
Not judging by the numbers that have been declining on the show.
I thought you said they were going back up.
It went up by like 200,000, but it's down from like 2 or 3 million from the season premiere this year.
That's their fault.
People catch it on Netflix. So yeah. There's always Netflix people that'll watch it. So, but that's our show. I think we went over our estimated hour.
We're going to be done by 12:30.
Yeah. So, but all right. Good stuff, gentlemen.
We'll be here next week.
The finale.
Tuesday again.
The finale.
Yeah, back to Tuesday.
Finally.
Back to Tuesday.
We'll be done.
Mike's just
the
looking for his vacation.
We'll be
time.
Done.
Mike needs a vacation. How old are you, Mike?
Too old.
How old are you, Mike?
Birthday's tomorrow. So or
really?
30th. The 30th.
Happy
Wednesday.
Happy birthday.
I will be 37.
Well, are you saying as in tomorrow is in Tuesday or tomorrow is in Wednesday?
Well, I was looking at my calendar. We're already on Tuesday now, so it's only one day away now.
Well, happy 37th birthday early.
Why, thank
you.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Mike. We'll let you make the first picks in the draft.
There you go. All right, guys. I think Matt needs to get some sleep.
I do.
All right, guys.
So,
that's it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
He does.
Great show, kids. One in a million.
And Russell.
All right, guys.
See you one last week next week.
Go eat some bad pickles. Bye.